Ezekiel chapter 16, let's begin to read in verse 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. Well, that sounds good, don't it? Well, we all understand Samaria. That's where idol worship was set up at. And we all know about Sodom. That's where sodomy was and all that mess and the abominations was set up there. But notice what he says. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Now who's he dealing with right here? If you go back and you look, he's dealing with Jerusalem and Judah is who he's dealing with. The same people that we've studied about in the book of Jeremiah. But then he begins to say in verse 48, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. And so the Bible went on to say, neither has Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they. And hast justified thy sisters in all thy abominations, which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at this time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about them, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about, thou hast borne thy lewdness, and thine abomination, saith the Lord. For thus saith God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath and breaking the covenant. You can be seated this morning. Lord, would you please help and touch this morning? You know the need here. I pray that you would strengthen us and help us while we might preach a little while. We do thank you for saving grace. We do thank you for, Lord, for saving David. We do thank you for that. And Lord, we're still glad that you're in the saving business. And there may be somebody here this morning, a young man, young lady, woman, boy, or girl, man, that needs to get saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart about that. Lord, as we preach, I pray that you'd just give us unction from the Holy One and give instruction to your people that they might find help. Do a work in each of our hearts today. Save that sinner to his fail. For this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture right here, as God is dealing with Judah and Jerusalem, and He's dealing with their sin, and He uses the comparison in that of Samaria and Sodom. And He says there's a word that jumped off here at me that deals with something that they both had. When we look in verse 49, as He is talking about the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, the very first sin that he deals with is pride. If you flip over, for me anyway, if you go over in the latter part of the chapter, he said in verse 56, he said, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. And so we find that Sodom was lifted up in pride. We know that Judah and Jerusalem was lifted up in pride. And listen, pride is something that lifts us up, but yet brings us very low. Pride is something that is haughty. Pride is something that is exalting of ourselves. As a matter of fact, the definition of pride means an inordinate self-esteem. It means an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents and beauty and wealth accomplishments. It means a rank or elevation in office which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. It means an elevation or a loftiness. I think we all know what it means to be prideful. You know, the Bible only talks about pride one time in a good nature. He said in the book of Psalms, chapter 31, He said, "O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." So we find that pride is only me. If you look and if you find something else that's good, and show it to me. But I've studied this thing and I cannot find where pride is mentioned good in the Bible anymore. One time we find that it's good, and every other time we find that pride is something bad. As a matter of fact, the very first mention of pride in the Bible is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, when God is laying the law out to the nation of Israel, and He tells them if they'll keep His law and follow Him, then He'll bless them. But if they rebel and reject Him, He said, "And I will break the pride of your power, and will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass." And so He said, "I'll break your pride." Some of you moms and dads have raised children that they're going to do it or die. And so you got to break them from that, don't you? There's been some of you parents told me what you've done with some of your children. Some of you have held them out of where they could not move. You know, my mother whooping me wouldn't hurt me too much. But if she told me to get in that chair and don't you move till I tell you to, that wore me out more than anything. I mean, y'all think I got nervous energy now. You ought to see me when I was a kid, you know. And I mean, listen, it just hurt my pride. And especially if she done it in front of other people. Amen. But we find that He said, "I'll break your pride." We know that in the opposite of pride in the Bible is humility. And that is a lowliness. You know why some people don't get saved today? They won't get lowly, will they? They won't come to the place to where they realize, or maybe they do realize, and they just won't do it. They won't bow now. They won't bow a knee and act to Jesus and realize that they're a lost sinner needing to get saved. They just won't do it. They think too much of their self. I remember the night that I got lost, I got found. Amen. And boy, I was so glad that I got found the night that I got lost. And Brother Marvin, I can remember going to church that night. And listen, I wasn't looking for God. And God, I didn't think He was looking for me. But boy, He found me. Amen. And I'm glad of that. And I'm glad that I had enough sense by the help of the Holy Spirit to go get saved. Amen. And I'm thankful for that tonight, that I didn't live in my pride, and I didn't justify myself in my pride, but I went and got saved. You know, the Bible said, "Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." It's better to be lowly than it is to be prideful this morning. So what does the Bible say about pride? Quickly this morning, the Bible said that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then He says, here's how you hate evil. Pride and arrogance in an evil way in the forward mouth, the froward mouth. Do I hate? The very first thing He said in that list to hate evil was pride. He said, "I hate pride." You know, a lot of times when you look at lists of sins in the Bible, pride will be right up there at the top. As you know, when it comes to dealing with sin, pride is generally the first one that jumps out. That's why I sin and you sin. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 11, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 16 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29 said, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Notice there is an exact opposite of what we think. Notice he said a man's pride shall bring him low. It's man's pride that keeps him high until God comes along and then it brings him low. But then he said, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. He said, whosoever shall abase himself shall be exalted. Ain't that right? And whosoever exalt himself shall be abased. But then in Proverbs 6, he said, these six things is the Lord hate, yea, seven abominations unto him, a proud look. The very first thing he said is pride. And so I want to deal with pride and the sin of pride this morning. Number one, where does pride come from? If I ask you where pride come from, you realize that men, you can see that all the way from the beginning, can't we? Take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, we find a time, I believe, when Satan is, and there's a lot of things that took place in heaven prior to creation and during creation that I just don't know and understand. I'll be honest with you. But here we're dealing with Satan, another point, he calls him the cherub that was anointed Lucifer, the anointed cherub that was above all in heaven. And we know that at one time he was in heaven. He was the anointed cherub. And some people, you know, he had all them horns and tabrets on him and all that. Some said he was the song director in heaven. I don't know if he was or not. But I do know he was there. And Jesus said at one point, he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And we know that God cast him out. But notice in your Bible right here in Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer said, I'll be like God and I'll be higher than God. Now I'm going to tell you, pride is hard to admit, friend. Because you've got to look on the inside and then determine that there's something wrong with you. That's hard. Man, it's hard for me to do. I mean, to say, man, I've got some problems. And I mean, I've got to deal with it. But I'm telling you, when you look and say, man, I've got some pride problems, you can deal with it. But notice right here, Lucifer said, I'll be higher than God. He said, I'll lift my throne up under the highest point, up above the I'll be like the Most High. And he always wanted the praise of God in both fashions. He's always wanted the praise that God deserves, and he's always wanted the praise of God. Is that not what he told the Lord Jesus himself over Matthew chapter 4? He said, I'll give you all these kingdoms right here in a moment of a time that you can see if you'll just fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. So he said in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He said, you'll be brought down. And man in his pride is always brought down. So we see from the beginning of creation, if you let me say that, from the beginning or prior to the beginning of time, you do realize God just drove up a stake in the ground over here and said time starts here, and he drove up another and over here and said time ends there, because he's always been and always will be. But then when we get to the garden, you remember Satan shows up in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, after God had gave them the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, out of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And people say, God ain't concerned about what you eat. God's very concerned about what you realize the first law that he gave was a dietary law? He said, don't eat of that tree. Well, some of you are excited now, boy. Preacher's going to preach on what I'm going to eat for lunch. No, I won't do it, but I'm just telling you. He's concerned about what you eat.
You know, he said, having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. He is concerned about what you eat and how you dress. The two things people get tore up about. But notice in the garden, when the serpent shows up, and Brother Jeff spoke on that just very quickly this morning about the serpent, how he was more subtle than any beast of the field. Me and my wife had the privilege of going to the zoo this past week, and for our birthdays, my sister had arranged for us to take some back tour visits of the zoo. And the fellow that was touring for us, he was a reptile man. My wife wanted to go pet an otter, something that looked cuddly. He wants us to go pet a snake and a turtle. I ain't petting no snake. Thing's a devil. That's right, amen. That's right, Brother Lewis. That thing's a devil. We didn't go pet the big tortoise, though. We did do that. That thing, I can outrun that sucker. Amen, I can outrun that thing. But listen, he was all excited about them snakes, you know. Wanted to show us these snakes. And he said, you can't hold one, you know, they're liable to bite you. I'm like, that's fine. You ain't got to tell me. I don't want to hold one either, and I certainly don't want it biting on me, you know. But you know, the Bible talks about how that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And that means he was slick in that passage of Scripture. He was very cunning, if you'd let me say that. And the very first thing that he uses against Eve is he comes to her and he says, yea, hath God said, that thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, what did God say? You can eat of every tree of the garden, except of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And she told him that. And Satan said, and here's where he lied. He said, first he questioned God's word, yea, hath God said. And when she said, no, we can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he and said, in the day that we eat thereof, we're going to die. And then he said this, thou shalt not surely die. He lied. He cast the doubt, and then he lied. And that's what Satan does. He casts the doubt, and then he lies. He'll cast the doubt in your life and lie to you. Did you know that? He'll lie to you about sin. He'll lie to you about good things too. You know, God ain't going to watch over you, and God ain't going to take care of you. God ain't going to hold on to you. That God cares. You know, he'll tell you God don't care. None of this is real. You know, when I was younger, I never thought that I'd thought that way. But, you know, there's been a few times old Satan's jumped up on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, I don't know about all this stuff. World seems to be having a pretty good time. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute too. But when the serpent said, ye shall not surely die, and then he said this, for God doth know, in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then here was the problem. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Can I say something about Adam right here before I move on? Because when I read this passage of Scripture, I see the Lord Jesus Christ so much. She's holding that apple that's had a bite took out of it. If you'd let me say that she ate an apple. I don't know what she ate, but it was of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She's eating that fruit when he shows up, and she gives it to him, and he just eats. Satan has conned her into eating, but she didn't have to con him. You can throw all this out, okay? You can throw all this out, but Jesus is called the second Adam or the last Adam. And I believe that when he looked at Eve, he seen what she had done. I don't believe you can take sin into you and you not change. I believe, listen, they were living in a perfect garden and she sins. I believe something happened to her. So what's your point? You know, when Jesus came, He freely and willingly took of our sin. Nobody conned him into it. Nobody talked him into it. He willingly went to Calvary knowing that my sin was going to be applied to him. Isaiah 53 said, "If laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus went willingly to pay for my sin. I believe Adam, when he walked up on the scene and he seen what was going on, I believe he willingly partook of that fruit. But what the Bible say right here? "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desire to make one wise." 1 John puts it another way. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." So what did she see? The Bible said right here, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," that was the lust of the flesh. She could eat it. And then it said that it was pleasant to the eyes, it's good for the food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, so therefore there was the lust of the eyes. It's good to look at. I kind of wondered if they stayed away from that tree up until this day. Had she just not even really paid attention to it? Had she not even really looked at it? But today, Satan has put a spotlight on that thing and said, "Here's what you need." Some of you all have intentionally stayed away from sin until one day Satan come along and shined the light on it. And you said, "Well, now, maybe that is a little better than I thought it was." He's good at that. He's good at putting a spotlight on things and lets you look and say, "What got Eve in trouble?" The very first thing that he says, what was it? "And the woman saw." What got David in trouble? Y'all know this. I've preached this a million times. David saw Bathsheba. They saw their eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes. And then a tree to be desired to make one wise. The pride of life. And so what got her in trouble was her pride. Pride has been around from the very beginning. And we're fighting pride. Whether you want to believe that or not, let me put it to you like this. Bible said, it said over there at one point, I believe was in the book of 1 Corinthians, it said, let him take heed that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. If you think you've got everything whooped and under control, it's already got you. It took me a long time to admit some things about my flesh. It took me a long time to realize that I'm just in the flesh. Not that I'm striving to sin or that I'm wanting to sin. But listen, I'm wanting to live right, man. But I'm in this flesh and I got to keep it under control. You say, "I ain't got no problems, preacher. I'm getting off track here, but I'm going to hang out for just a little bit." Well, how's your anger doing? Mine riled up on me just a little bit yesterday. People can't drive. They can't drive. They get in your way and won't get out of the way. They can't drive a lick. But our anger sometimes will rire up. Huh? Now what about our spitefulness? You know, malice? You know, God's people shouldn't be spiteful. You know, we'll do something just to be in return, or I won't do something. Just show them I won't do it. Bless God, I'll not do it. And you can't make me. That's spitefulness. That's pride. Man, that's just no more than pride. Build up into you. I mean, you ever been spiteful? Husbands? Wives? Children? Children wouldn't be spiteful, would they? Williams was all quick to look at you children, but when I talk about husbands and wives, let me put my glasses back on here. Let me see what you all are looking at. Huh? You know what causes problems in the home? Pride. We can't forgive one another. Forgiveness. You know, to forgive somebody, to forgive your husband, your wife, your children, to forgive mom and dad. By the way, children, sometimes mom and dad don't get it right. Now, I know mom and dad ain't going to like what I just said, but sometimes they don't get it right, but most of the time they're going to. I'll say 99.9%. I remember getting a whooping one time and I didn't deserve it. But I've always told Mama, after as I growed up, I said, Mama, that's okay. There was a lot I got by with that I deserved to get a whooping and never did. So that's all right. You know, it's okay. Huh? But pride will show up, and we have to realize that. And then pride not only has been around from the beginning, but then what does pride do? You know, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know what happens? You know what pride does? It hardens our heart and our mind. Haughtiness and pride is the same thing. It's a lifting up. And he said in Daniel chapter 5, as Daniel's standing before Belshazzar over there, and I mean, they're fixing to be destroyed. I mean, the Medes and the Persians are coming to destroy Babylon that night. And he is reminding Belshazzar of King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? He got lifted up in his pride, and God took his understanding from him. And he was put out there to pasture, literally. Literally put out to pasture, and he ate the grass of the field. His fingernails grew like claws, and the hair on his back grew like feathers, and he lost everything because of his pride. The Bible tells us that. So as Daniel is standing before Belshazzar and telling him the exact same thing he said this, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. He said his what? His heart was lifted up. It was in pride. And his mind was hardened. Didn't want to listen to nothing that God had to say. Daniel had warned him. Daniel had told him, you remember that? I mean, Daniel come in and interpreted that dream for him, you know, of that great statue that he saw. He interpreted that of the great tree that he had. You remember all those that he saw? And he knew about the God and that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew about the God of heaven. But yet there was a day that when Nebuchadnezzar walked out on his patio, if you'd let me say that, and he said, is this great Babylon that I have built? And he knew about the God in heaven. But yet he chose not to do anything with him. So God done what? When he hardened his mind, when his heart was hardened and his mind was hardened toward the things of God, God took it from him. Psalms chapter 10 said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The prideful, nobody thinks about God. You realize what month we're in right now? Well, you say, we're in June, ain't we? What's this month about? So what's it called? A pride, P-R-I-D-E, a pride month? For the LGBTQ community? Is that how you say that? Want a pride month? I wouldn't want to be anything associated with me that has the word pride in front of it. They're proud of their sin. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians over there, I believe it is, to not even have anything to do with those things that are done in darkness. Man hardens his heart and his mind. The world, in their pride, has hardened their heart and their mind against God. Believers have hardened their heart and their mind against the things of God to do as they want to do. There's prideful people sitting on church pews today, some saved, some unsaved, but I'm going to deal with the saved right now, that wants to do as they want to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we all know the story about Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was the one that Isaiah goes to. And God told him, you know, said, set your house in order, you're about to die. So he turns his head toward the wall, sets his house in order, prays that he might not die. God turns Isaiah around, sends him back in there and says, you got another 15 years. In 2 Chronicles 32, God had blessed him, but Hezekiah rendered not again to the benefit done to him, for his heart was lifted up. Just about every one of us in here know about the goodness of God. Know about the great things of God and know that everything that we have is because of Him. My wife, my family, my home, my automobiles, my possessions, what I've got out of this book is because of Him. This church is because of Him. I know we do our due diligence. We obey God. We strive to obey God. But listen, it's like this. One planteth, one watereth, and the other, one soweth, and one watereth. But it's God that gives the increase. Pride lifts us up. I've told you all this. Most of you know this story, but for the benefit of y'all that do not, I was preaching revival one time down the country, and by Tuesday night, I could see pride eating me up. God had come by, and I mean, man, we had good liberty in meeting, and boy, things was going good, and on the way out every night, the preacher had me standing back there in the back, and man, folk were shaking my hand, man, I had some good praying, heard preaching like that in years, and the whole time I was thinking to myself, well, your preacher preaches just as good as I do. But by Tuesday night, I was telling the Lord on the way out of the parking lot, you're going to have to help me because my head's going to get so big that I ain't going to be able to get in the door. I could see it coming. And God helped me. It hardens our mind and our heart against the things of God, against the Word of God. What did it do to Eve? It hardened her against what God said. It hardens us against what God says. I'm not concerned about what the educational system says. I'm not concerned about what our government says. I'm concerned about what the Word of God says. Boy, I ought to have shouted right there. Because this is the only thing that matters. Hey, when the world's on fire and burning down, friend, this book will still be standing when it's all said and done. But yet, it is this very book and this very thing that Satan turns you against. And he'll turn you toward everything else except God's way. Jeremiah 43. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshai, and Johanan the son of Kirah, and all the proud men, the Bible said, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. If you go back and read, I believe this is a portion of Scripture where they said, go ask God what He wants us to do, and we'll do it. And then when He says, here's what God wants you to do, and don't do this, by the way, and they said, that ain't what God said. He'll harden your mind. Pride will harden your mind and your heart against God and God's Word. He'll harden you against what the preacher says. He'll make you think I'm your enemy and not your friend. Listen, I stand up here to tell you the truth, to keep you out of trouble and keep me out of trouble. That's why he'll harden your children's mind and heart against you, mom and dad, when you're trying to help them. They think that they know better and you know better. But they don't realize that. I said it last week. Mom and dad's trying to help you young'uns because they've been there where you're at. What a great day it was when I realized that. Man. They smarter than I was, and the whole time I thought I was smarter than them. Man, they had more sense than I did. The world is even that way. They've hardened their mind. Romans 1:28, when he talks about the sodomy over there, well, you know what our nation is celebrating this month, you know. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He said, okay, you want to harden your mind? I'll let you harden your mind. I'll let you go on in your pride. But at the end, he gets them all. The more somebody rebels against God, the harder their heart and their mind will get. You just keep rebelling. It'll just keep getting harder and harder. I kind of think that's what happened to King Saul over there. Didn't King Saul have pride problems? He had pride problems. It's all about King Saul, wasn't it? Did he not tell Samuel over there? He said, I've kept the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel's over there shaking his head. And what meaneth the lowing of the oxen and bleeding of the sheep over here?
Pride is not only will harden your mind and your heart toward the things of God, then it will deceive you. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" He said, your pride has deceived you. What was it? Was it in the book of Ecclesiastes? Where he talks about though hand joined in hand. Let me see if I can. I thought I wrote that down, but I don't guess I did. He talks about how that they were lifted up and though hand joined in hand. Don't matter what people agree to. It don't matter how much people are prideful with each other. You know, we can do this. We can get it accomplished. I mean, does that know what happened to Tyre of Babel? Listen to me now. I'm going to quit here in just a second. I remember hearing one preacher preach on that. You know, God confounded their language. And wouldn't that be something? One fellow said, "Hand me a brick over there." The fellow standing beside him didn't have a clue what he said. I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but I'm sure it's something like that. But it hardens your mind against God and God's things and God's Word. But then it becomes very deceptive in getting you to believe that your way is correct. Does me the same way. You know, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. How many times have we ever looked into the Bible and the Bible correct us? And then we've got to do something about it. Now you can say that ain't what the Bible means right there. Or, you know, it may mean this. Or, you know, when I listen to a preacher say, "Well, that ain't really what the Bible means right there, but it really means this," click. I can listen to a lot of things, but I generally will not listen to them correct the Bible. And a lot of times to serve our own purpose and our own way, we will deceive ourselves into saying, "The Bible don't say that." That's like saying, "Well, now the Bible didn't say that you have to come by faith. If you come by good works, everything will be, just do good and everything will be alright when you get to heaven." That ain't what the Bible says. It says a man must come by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Malachi chapter 3, he told them this, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and yea, that tempt God are even delivered." They're just the opposite. That's what pride does, is getting you to think in the opposite. A lot of people think they can handle sin, you know, kind of like liquor, ain't it? You know, the sin of liquor. You know, Proverbs 31, he said, "It is for the kings, O Lemuel, it is for kings, it is not for kings to drink wine, for princes, strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." People say, "Well, I can handle my liquor," and by the end of the day, you can't get them out from under the table and they can't walk straight. And, you know, that's why they get in a car, ain't it, and they drive. Because they think they can drive home while they're in a stupor and they end up getting killed down here at Foot Hill. I don't know how many of y'all were here that Wednesday night. That's been years ago, hadn't it, Brother Jeff? Boy drives through the front yard of the church. They drove off down here in the front yard. And by the time, and this is when the curves used to be down here before they built a new highway and all that. And there was a set of double curve or a set of curves down there that curved around to go to the highway. And he missed them at about 70 mile an hour. And he was drunk and ended up dying right down there. Am I telling that right? Okay. What made him get behind the wheel? That thing deceived him, didn't it? Boy, that thing ruins homes. Ruins families, gets bank accounts. Isaiah 28 said, "But they have erred through wine, through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up in the wine. They're gone out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. It just deceives you. Pride says you can drink that and go ahead and get in your car and drive. Right? Stuff will get you, man. Stay away from it. The outcome of pride. Hopefully somebody sees what's going on in their life and God smiles on them and says, you need to fix this thing. And by the work of the Holy Spirit and the softness of a man's heart, he gets right. You know, the Bible said over here, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was wrath upon him, upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. So we saw it. You know, man can see his pride and humble himself. We'll come and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. God will save you. That's the only thing I realized the night that I was lost. As I was a sinner and I needed to get saved. And I come to the Lord and on the authority of His Word, He saved me. But you know what some people do? They stay in their pride and it gets them. The Bible said the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. You know, He not only destroys people, but He destroys nations because of their pride. Oh Lord God, he said in Psalms 94, to whom vengeance belongeth? Oh God, to whom vengeance belongeth? Show thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Oh, here's what I was looking for. Everyone that is of proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Judgment comes for pride. Got Adam and Eve, didn't it? Got King David over there, didn't it? When he sinned against God, that was all in pride. He thought he could do what he wanted to because he was the king. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. I read this at the beginning. Before the destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So before destruction comes, man lifts up his heart. So the very first pride that he talks about, or the very first sin that he talks about in Sodom was pride. And then he said this, they had fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, and neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Man, that sounds so much like us as a nation, don't it? And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. That's something that God really hates. I believe I was talking about that sodomy there. Therefore, he said, I took them away as I saw good. There's always judgment. Pride always brings judgment. I try to stay away from that thing. If you're lost this morning saying, I don't need to get saved, you need to get saved. If you've never trusted Christ, you're going to get to heaven. Going to have your sins forgiven. But maybe God has pointed out some things in your life. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Brother Marvin, come to the piano. Jacob, if you'll come, son, we'll get a verse of invitation.